not be able to immediately receive the awakening, nothing like divine responding, and I'm not in a hand. Now, every night we had a doctor program. And I prayed with the staff and we won, but I came away with a wounded veteran. Got some various words that are quite painful and trying to over that. Bobby came down with a bug that went through the tent, got lungs and embarrassing, and had a sore throat, and I had to refrain from joining heavily in the singing like I like to, because I like to keep my voice. I don't know if a youth brings in years, but I look forward to more than you can do. I have the privilege of speaking many times during the summer. And I don't know a more meaningful youth that I've experienced from congressmen in the last 7 years that I've been associated with that. The Lord has just really blessed that youth, and I'm very, very thankful. The three years and a second period of life to be a part of that. And I was just for a time phase of really be saved, and then many of you did for you time. And you put encourage you in your own home assemblies to really really encourage the young people to consider you time. Well, it's good to be with you. I don't know if you're a perfect soldier than the one you have. Well, it's just a delightful fellow, and I've enjoyed seeing together with you. And I'm looking forward to a really good week. And not just so at the beginning, but I've got some outline for the back, but all the back table, just to my left, all the way in the back, that will sort of summarize what we would like to consider together this week. Bringing our sessions together. One of the great privileges that you and I have as Christians is to serve God, to be God's servant. Paul, when he describes the conversion of the Thessalonians, describes it this way: they turned to God from idols to serve the living and the true God and to wait for his Son from heaven. And tied right together with our salvation is a privilege that you and I have as believers to serve the Lord. God desires to do his work. Yeah. And I suppose at the end of our pathway, our Christians, when we finally stand before the Lord, the thing that we desire to hear from Him are those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." God calls us to a life of service. And what I would like us to do this week together is consider one of the great servants of God in the Old Testament. I'd like us to look at the opening chapters in the book of Exodus and see God taking a man named Moses and comparing him for that great task that actually was delivered to God's earthly people Israel. Flip over the Bible this afternoon to Exodus chapter 1. Exodus chapter 1. The story of Moses remains all in chapters of Exodus. Beautifully illustrates for us the mandate, the making of a man of God. you read these opening verses in the book of Exodus, you find that the need for such a man is certainly evident. Because of the oppression, the enslavement of God's people, Israel. The days of favor during the lifetime of Joseph had passed. A new king arose. He didn't know Joseph. And alarmed by the growth of the people called Israelites, Pharaoh begins to oppress them. He turns them into a group of slaves. And they will be sitting for him. And yet was once a favorable living environment for the Israelites became one day by day of slaves. The people were afflicted. Years before, God had spoken to Abraham. And God had told Abraham in Genesis chapter 15 that these people would sojourn in a land that was not theirs. They would stay rigorously. For a period of 400 years, they would be afflicted. And then God said to Abraham, I will bring you out with a mighty hand. The years had passed. That day. The gift of God had spoken, so Israel found in a land that was not theirs, and they were afflicted. Joseph's name would be a constant reminder to the people of Israel. But there was a day coming when God would deliver them. Remember Joseph? In his deathbed, during that dying request, that request of faith, you read it in the end of Genesis. Look at the last chapter of Genesis. Genesis chapter 15, verse 24. You read these words. And Joseph said to his brothers, I die. And God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land. Unto the land which he swore to give to Abraham, the Isaac of the Joseph. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here. And that request was really a request of faith. Because Joseph believed what God had spoken to Abraham. Joseph believed that one day God would fulfill his promise and bring the people of Israel out of Egypt. And Joseph is saying, you guys, I will go with you. And the day of your time, the 400-year period is quickly coming to an end. And now God is going to provide the people of Israel with that leader, that man of God that they would need to accomplish that redemption. And that man is Moses. We must read together then from Exodus chapter 1, verse 8. Now there arose a new king over Egypt who knew not Joseph. He said to his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when war occurs, they join also unto our enemies, and fight against us, and so get them out of the land. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built the fire pleasure cities, Pythons, and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved before the children of Israel. And they did Moses made the spirit in the Israel to spirit with living. The Lord's Lord spirit with five bandits, in Moses, and in Philip. And in all manner of service in the field, all those service to him that he made them spirit was with living. And in the rest of chapter 1, we find Saul seeking to declare the grace of the people of Israel through putting to death the son born to Israelite women. What a horrible edict. And then we come to chapter 2, verse 1. And the little man of the house of Levi, he took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw him, that he was a beautiful child, since he was 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took to him and asked his food after his dog that was slain and was sick. And took the child therein, and he laid it in the flag by the river's brink. And he took the food afar off to see what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. The maidens walked along by the riverside. When she saw the ark among the flags, she sent the maid to fetch it. When she had opened it, she saw the child. Behold, the babe wept. She had compassion on him. And so this is one of the Hebrew children. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Now go and call to be a nurse of the Hebrew women that she may make the child for them." And Pharaoh's daughter said to her daughter, and the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and make it for me. And I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed him. And the child grew, and she bore him unto Pharaoh's daughter. And he became her son. He called his name Moses. And she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." We would like to consider this afternoon very first important news in the life of a little baby boy who was to grow into a mighty servant of God. What was it that God did to Moses that made him the man of God that he was? God's preparation in bringing into his servant very qualities of unmovable faith that he would need in leading the people of Israel are most instructive for us as we read these early chapters in Exodus. And I think as we consider Moses' preparation and see how God developed character in him, we see it in prophets together. If you begin to appreciate the greatness of Moses and all of his exploits to God, we must go very, very slowly right here at the beginning. We must go slowly in considering that holy environment and godly influence of Moses' parents. There is so few years that Moses would stand within the walls of that little slave hut in Egypt. We want to stop the most critical and the most important in making him the man of God that he was. They were to lean on indelible marks upon his character. You know what's interesting when you turn to Hebrews 11, you're going to ask you to turn there. That great faith stop in the New Testament. It's interesting to notice that the writer of Hebrews, in beginning to tell us the story of Moses, begins by telling us of the faith of his parents. And you can see that. Hebrews chapter 11. Look at one verse. Hebrews 11, 33. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents, because they saw he was a prophet, or beautiful sign, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. I want you to try to picture with me the feeling that Moses' parents must have had when they realized that God was about to give them another child. Especially how they would feel, because that child was to be born during a period of time when every Israelite mother was feared. Pharaoh said that all the male children were to be killed. And that period of waiting for the birth of that child would have been a period, no doubt, of anxiety and concern. The names of Moses' parents are given to us in Exodus chapter 6. Moses' father's name was Amram, and his mother's name was Jochebed. But for Amram and Jochebed, those days of waiting would have been days of wondering, concern. The day finally passed, and God in His grace brings to them a little girl. And the fear in that moment, there is a great deal of sin, but also perhaps a great deal of concern. What will become of that little girl? And even in that moment of giving birth, that the Bible commands to us the faith of our man of Jochebed. As they look into the face of that darling little boy, they saw God's purpose. In some way, we are sad. The Bible says that by faith, when he was born, was given 3 months by his parents, because they saw that he was a prophet or a beautiful son. So I am here because it might be a significance in that. Every mother would think her child beautiful. But the scripture reads the name and special quality of faith in what Amram and Jochebed saw in that baby boy. They saw purpose. They saw in that little boy something that God was going to do through him. And in faith, Amram and Jochebed will do all that they can to see that purpose fulfilled. And God commands their courage and their faith. And for 3 months, Moses is hidden. Every day would have been a day of anxiety for Jochebed. Would the baby be born? If so, that's important. And yet they must be something. Because by faith they were convinced that God was going to use that little boy. The Bible doesn't tell us whether they literally in great detail what lie has emerged. The fact remains their faith. It remains their faith. He was a little bit of a God gives them a plan. I think when you stop here for just a moment, one of the things that I appreciated about the conference this week is noticing a good number of young families that are here. And I think maybe can learn our lessons from those experiences this afternoon. Recognize in the children of God who trust to us that potential. We are recognizing more children that God's grace are children that all have a direct responsibility for, and that those young lives can be molded in the suffering that God who grace one day can use and grow. Do I see the potential? I did, as a parent, because much that will happen in that child's development will be the result of my influence as a parent. And what a privilege it is. What a responsibility it is. May God entrust to us children. And when we talk about their potential, yes, it's our purpose. They saw that God will accept them for that little bit of use, and they will do all the faithful to cooperate with God's purpose in working in that child's life. And so you and I, as the leading parents, have that same privilege and responsibility. A piece of time, yes, to be minded in the something useful. And that is the greatest desire that you and I as parents can have. More desire for more children, above all, is the time to come young men and young women that will serve the Lord. In whatever capacity, using the gift, the ability, the personalities that God has given to them, that I should direct their lives to love and to serve the Lord Jesus. What a privilege that is. And the greatest gift. The direction of their lives rests in my hands. You cannot take lightly the truth of that. Anyone will talk about you that. And so, they act courageously to see that purpose fulfilled. It took time to defy the king's order. And yet the Bible says that through faith, they were not afraid of the king's command. And after 3 months, when the baby could be heard no longer, they formulated a plan. It was a plan, I believe, prompted by faith and directed by God. Our day after this instructive. Isn't it really fair? You all know Ministry of Health would have been disrupted. God was sick and crying. Dr. Berg would make it just as safe as he could for her precious little bundle of life. And then realizing that he could keep it no longer, he placed the baby noses and placed that little baby singly in that ark and they came to the river's edge of the Nile and placed that little baby of stardusting among the leaves that grew around the river bed. And then Peter and Moses' older sister Mary watched to see what God would do. Now that wasn't an easy thing for prophets to do. Your mothers would appreciate that. Not the bad hard thing or similar with the Jacob. He had a worry, he let go, and let go. That's what you had to learn to do. He wanted to trust the Lord for that little baby girl of him. He had to let go and let go. He trusted God. When God gives exceedingly, abundantly above all that you could ever ask for or think, because I see placed that little ark of curiosity there by the river's edge and leaned away to walk a short distance off and watching. Down to the river's edge comes the daughter of Pharaoh, along with her maiden, the rock. And as they approach the river bed, Mary's daughter immediately sees the little ark floating there. And she sends one of her maidens to get the ark. And the maiden goes in obedience and picks up the ark and brings it to Mary's daughter. And the Bible says that when Mary's daughter took that ark, the bed wept. And immediately, her heart is up. She must have that child for her own. And they hear it. Right there. Not to be lifetime. And Miriam says, shall I send you one of these Israelite women to make the child for you? And Pharaoh is able to do it. But a million men. Right. Nobody. What a day that must have been. What a moment. Now, that precious thing of things that she had trusted God for us is under the protective hand of Pharaoh himself. What a day. What a moment of pain must have ascended from the heart of Joseph. God has protected us. God is in our ways. Mary wanted to kill all these boy babies, all the male children, in order to keep Israel under his control. Now think, now by God's design, Pharaoh is going to be controlled Israel's men and boys as well as instructions to the very man that God is going to use to accomplish the same thing in the plan of Israel. You have a great God. And as you really be scripted and think about that, you realize that God can do far more than all men should ever begin to think about the plans of our usefulness of Him. And how God can accomplish His purpose. God is honoring the faith of all men in Jacobin. It says God always honors faith. Sometimes it's difficult. And what God asks all men in Jacobin to do to protect their the place wasn't easy. What's going on in you? You need to get into it. The rest of the world is closely ignoring the new heaven. The closest thing to the last perspective and difficult is all this suggestion. Not only Jews, he will enter him. And again, I see a very important application here. Just say, drop a bird, he was to let go. And put that child in the hands of the Lord. Oh God, you speak to us as parents and say the very same thing. Do you see, then, that the children that God has given to us are not really ours? Not really. They've been entrusted to us for a little while. And the problem for me in our hearts and spirits is that unbelievers are really recognizing their deeds. And that recognizing in the same form we are genuinely going to have to say, really? Then you. Reason bring those rules that God instructs them to our prayer is to know them and to make them. Servant to the Lord, children that glory to know and to love the Lord Jesus as personal Lord and Savior. Children that glory to see the joy of the Lord experienced in the world as they serve him.
Those words that he's really doing the Lord. The Lord
everything makes it to me. And all of you be believed. This is what Pastor Gordon spoke a whole lot of about that. All of you believe in the time from bringing up our children to the world. Let's go on to see our children going on to God. God's way to go in school. when they were real food. But what we are sometimes is so loudly that our children can't hear what we say. And it seems to be all to do with things that are not to our children. But it doesn't help us to be consistent here. Not perfect. I don't mean it. God that knows how it is with the God of man. And I thank God that as I grew up in my home, only for perfect time, for a fair consistent time. And as I grew up, that was to bring stability into my life. The things of God were never made fun of in my heart. Because I knew those things were real. Because I was seeing it in God, day by day in my home. And I was all I could have been as a boy growing up. And I was living in the end, didn't do all that I could have. And I was in the back of my mind with everything else I wasn't behaving, what I feared was that deep respect for the things of God. And you can't get away from it. Not knowing what we do now without seeing it again is sacred. And the attitudes of their hearts were the structure of the world and the exclusive decision of every man to make way through here. The sacred is that we keep our children by family instructions, we keep them by example, and we go for instructions in the world. We also keep them by discipline. Discipline has been defined this way. Making doing right pleasant and doing wrong unpleasant. That's a good definition of that. It's so amazing how the children, the best of human, the very best of human, of living in a home with parents who had a faith that was real and alive and genuine. And it left its mark when they stood up to them. Knowing Jesus is the man of God and the faith. Because of the child who needs it. Those who need all the forgivability. God takes them. The importance of what we're doing every day, not just taking with our children and the school. Our children are deeply impressionable. A few weeks ago, I was out of town speaking. And I was invited into a home for dinner. Got there about 5 o'clock, and I think dinner was to be served about 6, so we had time to meet with the family. It was a young family, children in the family. I was sitting in the room on the outside, and showing the garden and the flowers, and while the mother excused herself and went into the kitchen to prepare, the father sat down in the chair with me, and the children were sitting down. It's about 5:30, I'm not sure the exact time, in front of the television. And the father and I were talking, but I could not help but notice what the children were watching at 5:30 in the afternoon, a prime time for children to be watching television. And it was the child in that chair, I don't know the name of it. It looked like a funny cartoon sort of thing. People dressed up in funny costumes. It seemed like it was just geared for children. And my first impression was more like fun for children to watch
But as I sat there, I could not help but hear what was being said in the content of that program. And what flamed before my eyes and ears was some of the most perverted thoughts. It just left me just shocked. I thought that type of thing was unrelated. And now I saw what children looking while I blamed to that television, the father completely unaware of what they were watching, and it was built. I don't want to be able to tell you what was being taught. We live in an ungodly world. We live in a world much different in some respects from the world of 20 or 30 years ago. And we need parents to realize that. Somebody's going to teach your children. You can invite the devil into the living room and let him teach them if you like. But God help us to protect them. I just wanted to ask to the brother who was sitting there, and he turned it off. This is the world we're living in. And unless you and I as parents take seriously that commission, yes, that responsibility that God has given us, we're going to be amazing. The pressure is too great. It'll overwhelm us. Unless we know something of that God-given conviction to see in our children, listen, God has planned for them, and I, to a great extent, can know